Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Taking a DNA test can be super exciting. You know, you find out that, oh, there's a part of my family that comes from Croatia or whatever. Of course, we've had a couple of big news stories about DNA tests. One of them is that there's a whole lot more incest in America than any of us are comfortable with. But yeah. Here's the other one. A neo-Nazi violent criminal skinhead took a DNA test, and what he learned changed his entire life.
Why do we always have an odd one in the crowd?
So it's kind of odd.
Decidedly odd.
Doesn't that strike you as a little bit odd?
No, it doesn't strike me as a little bit odd.
It's the Bob and Sherry Oddcast, the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, or shouldn't do on the regular show. Now, here's the Oddcast.
So, hey, do you guys remember the movie American History X starring the great actor Edward Norton?
Yes.
It's an incredible film. Yeah. So Edward Norton plays a skinhead in American History X. And the movie is based on the story of a real person named Frank Mink. He's 48 years old now. And in the early 1990s, he became the leader of a violent, ultra hard right neo-Nazi gang. And he was torturing people who tried to stop him from starting a race war. He was intensely, insanely anti-Semitic, and he had a flaming swastika tattooed on his neck. He was constantly yammering on about the Zionist occupation government. He would tell anybody that would listen that he, you know, the Jews were the root of all evil. And so when American History X was made in 1998, Edward Norton's character was based mostly on this guy and on his road to redemption after he went to prison and built these really deep friendships with other inmates who were Black. And so that changed his thinking. And that's the movie, right? And it's a powerful movie, and Edward Norton is incredible in it. And it does make the point that it's very easy to make people into the other if you have no personal understanding of who they are. Like, you have to dehumanize them in order to make them into the other. You have to dehumanize them in order to call for wholesale slaughter. You have to call them things like scum and vermin and inhuman and all of those things that, you know, we've seen this play out in history over and over and over again, right? Well, my man here, Frank Mink, who inspired that movie, took a DNA test long after he walked away from neo-Nazism. He was trying to make amends for his past. He wanted to be a better man. And so he took a 23andMe test, and he's Jewish.
Really?
And more, he now lives as a deeply observant Jew. So that is a plot twist nobody saw coming. That this man, who was like the poster boy for violent, aggressive, criminal anti-Semitism, is like, oh, I got my 23andMe back. And he said, quote, I found out by a beautiful gift from God that I am Jewish through DNA. So it looks like his mother's great-great-grandmother was Jewish. So according, and in Judaism, it descends through the mother. So according to that, he is also Jewish and has enthusiastically embraced it. He prays three times a day wearing the prayer shawl of observant Jews. He goes to synagogue. He goes to three different Torah studies classes a week. He keeps kosher, and he has turned his life around and devoted it now to doing good and making amends. If you made this the movie, people would go, yeah, it was pretty believable up until the part he found out he was Jewish too. Right?
Yeah. Nobody would go for that.
What do you think about that? So here he is trying to be better. And isn't that what we want, right? And isn't it amazing that it all began with spitting into that little plastic vial from 23andMe?
We're very excited about Bob and Sherry Premium. There's so much content. You get classic chat room calls, your best of CDs, behind the scene photos and videos, and it only costs $4.99 a month. Go to bobandsherry.com/premium.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
So we're talking about these DNA test kits because we've had two like really big news stories. The one we just finished telling you about, the inspiration for American History X, finding out he's Jewish. And he had already walked away from his criminal past and has been trying to make amends for that. But this was a real plot twist. And then, of course, the very disturbing news that there's so much incest in American families. Like, ew. Have either of you taken a DNA test?
I have not.
Yeah, I did.
Lamar, what did you find?
Just a fat ass redneck.
Oh, that's a category.
I was gonna say, I never saw that was one of the categories with 23andMe. I mean, did they give you some sort of, did you give you some a breakout of nationality?
Yeah, they did. I can't remember. It's been a long time. It's because this was nothing. Carla wanted me to do it. She wanted me to do it. And so I did it. And I'm like, you know. And here's a weird story. I was still working at Budweiser. It's been about probably 6-7 years ago. And I go to this place. It's like one of those wholesale places. It's got some, you know, you for a business or whatever. And I needed something from there. So I go in there. And so I'm talking to the lady. And she said, I need to put your name down. And she said, no, it's Budweiser. Would you put your name down? So I told her my name, Lamar Richardson. And there's a guy standing there. And he goes, where are you from? And I said, Georgia. He said, Hartwell? And I said, yeah. And he said, my great grandfather, he said, was your grandfather, was he Crate Richardson? And I said, yeah. And anyway, he'd done all this stuff. He goes, we're like fifth or sixth cousins or something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, okay. And so I left. I was telling Carla about it. And she goes, would you get his name and number? And I said, no. I mean, why would I need it? She goes, well, he's a cousin. I said, maybe he is. But he's like, he's so far away a cousin. No, I mean, no. I said, listen, I got all the family I need. I don't want any extras. I don't want any extras. I'm not against them. You know, I'm like, good luck to you. Okay. But I mean, I just, you know, I'm not going to sit around and do all that stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to track down a second, first removed cousin or what. I'm just not doing it. It's just,
but
I don't have any interest in it.
Like, how long have your people been in this country? Like that, because that's, you know, my family are fairly recent immigrants. And so the 23andMe was fascinating because with only a handful of exceptions, no one could read or write when they came here. And so all the family histories are oral traditions and everybody's really scattered. So when my mom did 23andMe, like she got answers to questions, you know, that she didn't even know to ask. How about your people? Were you able to tell any of that?
You know, maybe I could have if I'd have drilled down on it. But, you know, I really, here's my deal. Whoever they were and whenever they got here, they should have got after it a little bit more. If they'd have got after it a little bit more, I might have some generational wealth. Well, I don't. So now I'm trying to get after it. I mean, I don't know what, you know, they let me down. Whenever they got here, they let me down. They should have done something different than what they did.
So there were no surprises in your DNA. Because yeah. when my mom got hers back, she called me up and said, Cher, you will not believe this, but we're Jewish. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, God knows we have the food and the guilt. Now we can like leave to the rest of it, right? So my mother, because my people are except for my poor pup who got vacuumed into this crazy family, my people were really very mobile in the Mediterranean. And so, yeah, according to my mom, we had some pretty big percentage of Sephardic. There's like Ashkenazi and Sephardic Jewish genetics. So we had some Sephardic Jewish genetics, which I guess makes me as Jewish as the man we were talking about in the beginning of the episode. And there were some other surprises in there too. There was nothing surprising in your DNA?
No, nothing. No, I didn't see anything that, you know, hit any red flags or anything. There's so nobody I can go, you know, yeah.
So you said that your DNA found you were you said you were a fat redneck. Is that, I believe
fat
what you said?
Fat ass redneck. Yeah, so, exactly.
So your people hail from Fattia and Redneck-landia. And that's
yeah.
it?
So there's some Norwegian in there somewhere.
Some Norwegian. And what else? Like there has to be, you have to have something more than, you know.
Well, I mean, I've got a certain amount of African American in me because I'm very cool. So I there was a percentage of that. So, you know, I'm hip. So, you know, I was cool with that. I had some Irish. I don't know. Honestly, Carla was so interested in this. And see, Max, you haven't even done it because you don't care, do you?
Actually, you know, I mean, I got the family tree stuff done. So I have some understanding where they came from. So my grandmother was from Austria. I mean, they came over with immigration back at the turn of the last century. And I know that there's some English, some Irish, German. My mother's father had some German. Decker was their name. And so, I have a somewhat of an idea where some of that stuff came from. When the family tree was done, of course, I found out that my family lived for generations, I mean generations, in Camden, New Jersey, just because they heard it was such a garden spot, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It was, its heyday, oh, my gosh. There's a great aquarium there now, y'all. But if you drive up and down the streets of Camden, the architecture, like in its heyday, it must have been some kind of place.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, I do know something. I know Sir Francis Drake. I know I'm related to him in some way. So, that was one of the things that we found out by doing the family tree stuff. And so, I mean, and it is interesting. I mean, it really is because when I looked at it, my mother thought that perhaps her father, my grandfather, who I never met, that she thought perhaps he was born out of wedlock. But through this family tree stuff, I found that was not true. And so she had some questions about certain things, but I will tell you that when I told my mother I'd gotten some family tree stuff, her immediate reaction is, what do you want to do that for?
Oh, cause she's of the generation where, you know, what? Let sleeping dogs lie.
Yeah. I think she was afraid that there was something in there that I was going to find. And the fact is that I didn't find that. What's most interesting is that the people who were my great aunt and great uncle who had all this wealth, who gave their money to charity. And here we are all these years later. And that charity they're still giving scholarships on that money they left. She is less sure about the connection between my grandmother and my great aunt. They were trying to figure out, they thought they were cousins, but she said, I'm not finding the connection. So I don't know we didn't really pursue it any farther. So I don't know what that was, but it's kind of fascinating nonetheless.
I love like family stories and I know that older people I have them in my family too. Older people are like, oh, this is a secret. And then you learn the secret and you're like, you know, that's not such a big deal, but that's just because times change and norms change, right? So the idea that, you know, someone might have gotten pregnant before the wedding, scandalous to your mom, Max, but not anything now, yeah, really.
Right, like, right.
It's just like, whatever. But I respect that our older people in our families, they do want to keep this stuff secret. I didn't do 23andMe. I haven't done one of these DNA tests, which is weird even for me because it's the sort of thing that I love and would absolutely do in a heartbeat. Can't tell you why I haven't gotten around to it. I think about it and then something happens and I forget and months go by. But maybe the biggest part of the reason I haven't done it is my mom did it. And so, like I feel like, oh, well, the mysteries have been answered by my mom doing it, which isn't even true because like all the stuff with my father would then have to come in. But let me tell you a little family 23andMe story. So my goddaughter decides to do 23andMe and she gets her results back and she calls me and she is distraught. She is beside herself. And I'm like, honey, what is the matter? I got my DNA. I'm like, well, okay, this is where she finds out my mom wasn't kidding about the alien hybrid thing. Like, what are you so upset about? And she was like, my dad isn't my dad. I was like, yeah, girl, he is. You look just like him. She said, it can't be. There's no Italian ancestry in my DNA. And I was like, but that.
Really?
For my brother, her father, my father was half Italian, half Irish, and my mother was half Italian, half Irish. So my brother should have had both some Irish and some Italian ancestry in there. He married a woman, her people, her 23andMe was like England and Denmark and France and Germany, like, you know, that whole like sort of Western European slice, right? So my niece is devastated. What happened? How is it? And she's like, I told my parents and they're upset and dad's going to do a DNA test because maybe the problem is that his father wasn't really his father, meaning that my mom stepped out and had a baby with someone other than GFL. So it turned into this great big thing in the family. And we learned it in school, but nobody remembers it. You get 50% of your DNA from your dad and 50% of your DNA from your mom. But y'all, it's a slot machine spin, which 50 comes from each of them, right? So my brother got 50% of my father's DNA. My father is half Irish. My brother got what he got from his dad. Some Italian, some Irish. My brother had Italian genetics, right? But when he and his wife had Brittany, Brittany got 50% from her dad and 50% from her mom. And the 50% she got from my brother was all the Irish stuff, all the other random.
So you could have two siblings and the ancestry comes up a little bit differently then? Is that what you're saying?
Yep, 100%. And I have a younger brother who...
Wow.
Who left our family and has nothing to do with any of us. But he is the spitting image of my dad and my dad's mother and her siblings, dark hair, dark eyes, dark skin. He looks Italian, whereas my older brother doesn't at all. My older brother's blue eyes and really fair skin and blonde hair doesn't look anything like the Italian side of the family. So my DNA, my brother's DNA and our other brother's DNA, both parents, three wildly different DNA profiles, which if you compared it to your siblings, Max, you probably see the same thing. Isn't that fascinating?
It is. It really is.
And the reason that we know as much about this as we do is because this caused such a ruckus in the family that my niece ended up hiring a genetic counselor to evaluate everybody's results. Because there were a lot. Yeah. And you know why, Lamar? Because my parents' marriage was really volatile. And my mom was a teenager. I mean, it was just a hot mess. But my father, he was terrible to everyone, but he had a special, he had a special animosity toward my brother, my big brother, Brittany's dad, and just beat him mercilessly until my brother was too big to come for. And so the thought then, when this DNA came back all squirrely, was, well, that's why he was so abusive, because he knew you weren't his. So I called my mom in the middle of all this, and I was like, take a seat and get ready. Here we go. Britt did 23andMe and blah, 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 and no Italian this. And my mom's like, what do you mean? How can that even be? Now she thinks that her dad, and my mother goes, oh, please, no. No, no, we're not going to have any of that. Mark is absolutely your father's son and blah, blah, blah. So that's it. It just was a lot. And that's why we got a genetic counselor in who explained the whole thing. That
wow,
your,
I had
that
no
your kids,
idea.
It's a crapshoot. And what's fascinating about it, what I love about genetics, is it's such a crapshoot that you can have a kid born today who looks exactly like a great, great, great grandparent in an old sepia tone family photo. Like all of those traits that are recessive can come rocketing forward. You can have, and you often see this in families. You'll be like, oh, yes, yeah, she's an incredible piano player. My mother's mother played the piano, you know, that sort of thing, right? These physical traits and character traits and personality traits, you spin that genetic wheel at the moment of conception and you get what you get. But it's not going to match for anybody else out there that thinks that their mama was stepping out with the milkman or whatever. Yeah. Your 23andMe isn't necessarily going to profile like your siblings. So it's just, and then there's epigenetics, which is a whole separate conversation. The impact that environment and experience and all of that have on our genetics and how that can actually transform our DNA. And then we'd send that transformed DNA into the future. Fascinating. Whole different conversation.
We did a True Weird Stuff about a woman who had children that had different DNA. Do you remember this episode?
Chimerism. Yeah. So Lamar, in this episode of True Weird Stuff, there's a thing called vanishing twin syndrome. And you might remember it from the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, when Aunt Vula was telling the people that she had her twin in her neck. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I think the actor Andy Garcia had that too.
Yeah, it's real. Like a lot of pregnancies, they think as many as 36% of pregnancies start out as multiples, but then only one embryo, only one, you know, makes it through. And they say 36% because thanks to IVF, like we have so much data on multiple pregnancies that then drop down maybe from 3 to 2 to 1. But now with time and study, the research says actually, you know, all pregnancies probably have about a 36% rate of doubling. And then very early on, like before your first ultrasound, which is usually like what, about 18 weeks now, very early on, one of those fertilized embryos doesn't make it for whatever reason. It's not genetically viable or gazillion reasons, right? And that genetic material can go into the surviving baby. So that the case that Max is talking about came out of Washington State. This woman nearly had her children taken from her and placed in foster care, because no amount of DNA testing proved that she was their mother. And so the lawyer was like, it was so bad, Lamar, she was pregnant with her third child. And the court was going to take the other children away. And she was fighting and fighting. And so listen to this. This is a mind blower. The court ordered a monitor to be in the delivery room with her, a medical professional. It wasn't like they sent in, you know, Jim from PetSmart. It was a medical pro.
Yeah.
But this person was watching the baby emerge from the birth canal. As the baby emerged, they swabbed it, cut the umbilical cord, did that whole Apgar thing, and ran the DNA. And the baby was not the woman's genetic child. Now, everybody saw with their own eyes who gave birth to this child, who is does not genetically belong to this mother. So the lawyer on the case is like, you know what? Something crazy here. And this woman's going to lose her children and potentially go to jail. So he took the deepest of dives into medical research. Now, this was back in, like, Max, check my memory, the early 1990s.
Yeah, it seemed to be, yeah, DNA was still a new thing at that point.
Yeah. And this lawyer, he went all the way in and he found another family in, I want to say, Connecticut. It's been about a year since we released that episode, and with the same exact situation. And so he goes back to the court, back to the judge in Washington, and said, we need, they've been doing cheek samples and blood samples. We need to do a tissue sample from an organ. So they took a sample from, I believe, her uterus. And that was when they found the genetic match between her and the child. Because a lot of times what ends up happening is the twin that survives the vanishing twin syndrome ends up with two separate distinct human DNA lines inside their body. And depending where you sample, you'll get one person versus another. So you could do a cheek swab and get this result and do a blood sample and get a sibling result because it shows up as a sibling. It's not random. It's like, this isn't you. Yeah. This is your sibling. Well, if you don't have a sibling, then that kind of answers the question of where these double DNA lines come from. But if the 36% is accurate, that means you can look around the world or maybe in the mirror and you could be one of those people walking around with two distinct DNA lines in your body. And of course, Max, when we were working on this one, hears all of this and he goes, you could commit a crime and they'd be looking for your sibling.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The episode was a little over a year ago. It's called RU2. If you want to listen to it on True Weird Stuff, so that's what the episode is called, and it's fascinating. It really is.
It's cool stuff. Wow. Because there's no like, it's weird only because it's weird. There's no hoodoo or malice with it. It's just we are fascinating machines. But we're imperfect machines. And yeah. you do have to wonder, right? That we manage as well as we do, given all the things that can go wrong. Like, look at my niece, Violet. Violet has Angelman syndrome. She has the maternal deletion form of Angelman syndrome. You know what that means? Check this out. There's a chromosome. You get one of each from a parent, right? So you have this gene from your mom and this gene from your dad. And in Violet, on this one chromosome, she's got her dad's gene and it's sound asleep. It's not turned on. And the gene that her mother was supposed to give her is missing. And that's why she has Angelman syndrome, which is a rare genetic disorder that's marked primarily by seizures. If they could wake her dad's gene up, it would amount to like a cure. And they have research in human trials looking to do that right now. That's how amazing genetics are. Wow.
Can you imagine if they're able to do that?
Now, for us, if they can cure Angelman's, for all the babies that have yet to be born, so much hope for older children who have it and adults who have it. There are certain things that, you can't undo. Like Violet would never be able to speak, right? It's too late for that. But she could sleep at night and wouldn't be beset by seizures constantly and wouldn't have to take so much anti-seizure medication. And yeah, it would be miraculous and a game changer. But just think about that. There's that one gene and it's just, if we could just wake it up. Do you know how many diseases? That's what you've heard of, like CRISPR gene editing technology. Do you know how many diseases we could potentially cure if we could just wake this gene up or turn that gene off. But again, it's playing God, and we don't know what all the downstream consequences are for waking one up and turning one off. So a complicated Oddcast. But to circle back to where we began, I'm really glad that that violent, terrible neo-Nazi has had his heart transformed by love and his brain transformed by knowledge. But the idea that there's so much incest in America, y'all need to act right.
Sure, that's the understatement of the day.
I'm trying to be restrained. You need to not do that. And if you're doing that, I'm talking right to you. In case you just jumped a little bit and went, she can see in my soul, I can, and it's filthy. Work on yourself. All right, new episodes of the Oddcast every Monday. Talking Lamar every Friday afternoon and True Weird Stuff on Friday nights. Thank you for listening. And if you have a really wild DNA test story, we'd love to hear it. You can give us a holler at bobandsheri.com. We'll see you on the next Oddcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Oddcast, Talking Lamar, and the Bob and Sherry podcast. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to CleanOrigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to CleanOrigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's CleanOrigin.com, code RADIO10.